Thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 17, continuing to look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Before we get there, I want to ask you a few questions just to prepare our hearts as we come to God's Word. I wonder, even in the midst of mourning and sadness, and even in the midst of all that we experience as frail human beings as we travel through this life, as believers, as followers of Christ, as those who believe in Him, I wonder, are you aware of the greatest work of the Spirit in your life? What do you recognize as the Holy Spirit's greatest work? What is it that the Spirit is doing in your life today that is the most amazing thing to you? The most amazing thing to you? Is it speaking in tongues? An amazing gift? Is it visions and dreams? Is it prophecy? Is it the comfort that the Holy Spirit brings? Is it signs and wonders? Is it teaching and revealing the truth of the Bible? What is the greatest thing that the Holy Spirit is doing in your life? Well, let's look at it another way. What is God's will for you? What's the greatest and very best that He is doing in you? What is that greatest, best thing that the Spirit is working in you even today? I wonder what you're thinking about. What is it? What's the greatest calling, the greatest work of the Spirit in my life today? What could it be? When I tell you, you'll say, well, oh yes, I knew that. But at the moment, it just escapes your mind. Let me tell you. As far as I can see from Scripture, the greatest work of the Spirit in our lives today is making us just like Jesus. That, and that alone, reigns as the supreme, the greatest thing that the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives today. What greater work is there? What bigger vision could there possibly be than to be made more like Jesus Christ? What is there that the Spirit of God can do that's more amazing and more astonishing and more vital than to make us just like Jesus? Can you think of anything? I can't. But I just wonder, if that vision and that call of God is so great that it's beyond our understanding. It's so huge that it doesn't really land. It doesn't really register. Yes, we know it and we think it and it's amazing, but is it really registering with us? Does it really have traction in our lives? Is it really working? In our heart of hearts, do we really believe it? Really believe it? That the Holy Spirit is working in your life and my life to make us more like Jesus? Do we really engage with the Holy Spirit daily as He makes us more like Jesus? Do we thank Him for making us more like Jesus? When was the last time we said, thank you, Holy Spirit, for making me more like Jesus day by day. The fact is, I think, that we all know in our heart of hearts just how far we fall short of that. Just how far we feel and sense that we are from being like Jesus. Truly, really, you know, in our heart of hearts, in that quiet, solitary place that we only know, because we can present quite well. We brush up quite well. We see that on a Sunday. And yet, in our heart of hearts, where are we as we understand that the Spirit is working to make us more like Jesus? And if we're honest with ourselves, at times, we're left wondering if the vision of God and the vision that He has for us is really just a bit beyond even His power to achieve in us. Not because He lacks anything, but because we ourselves are so hopeless, are so absolutely hopeless. Oh yes, we have faith to believe that when we get to heaven, we shall be like Him then. We have faith for that, don't we? We sang it. When I stand in glory, I'll see His face, and there forever, praise and glorify the King in that wonderful place. We've got faith that we'll be like Him when we'll see Him in the sweet by and by. Some bright morning I'll fly away, and oh glory, I'll be like Him. But as for now, no chance. It's not happening. And the sweet by and by is okay, but what about the unsavory now? Can likeness to Jesus really be achieved? Can it really be achieved? Can we really attain to what God's Word says, that the Holy Spirit is making us more? Is that real? Truly? Brutal honesty has to leave us wondering. Has to. Well, it leaves me wondering at least. Because for now we struggle on, and at times wearied and weighed down by the weight of our frailties and our failures, discouraged and despondent. And yet, He began a good work in us. We didn't choose Him. He chose us. But we will only ever truly make strides forward and understand and get traction that we are becoming like Jesus and interact with the Spirit and with the Word to become more like Jesus when we are absolutely brutally honest before God and in our heart of hearts, and we say, Lord, search me and try me. Let the floodlight of Your light shine into the deepest, darkest recesses of my heart and conquer those places. Conquer those places. Change me to be more like You. See, we will never get to a place of desperation like that unless we see ourselves as we are in our fallen condition. So many of us are content with just prettying ourselves up on the outside, just so that we can look okay and acceptable. But just like Jesus said, yeah, there's a whitewashed sepulchre there, but inside it's full of dead men's bones. That's not a critical analysis of someone else. That's an incisive analysis of myself. In case you're wondering, this is not a sermon to you. I'm not talking down to you. I'm asking you to engage with me in a reality and that to start and continue a journey on to becoming more like Jesus, more like him, truly more like him, not just in a cosmetic surface way, but in a deep heart change, truly like him. A few Sunday evenings back, I spoke from Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 21, on there's life in a look. Moses made a bronze serpent, and he set it up on a pole. And if anyone was bitten by the serpent, he said that they should look at the bronze serpent, and they would live. You know, folks, the serpent continues to get his venom into our bloodstream, does he not? The serpent continues to get his venom under our skin and into our brain through his accusations, through his lies, and his condemnation. And we fall for it time after time after time. And the only antidote to the serpent's venom, the only lasting cure, is to look away from ourselves. To look away from the serpent and to look to Christ. In here, I find no good thing. In here, I find nothing but dead men's bones rattling about. I look away and I look to Christ. Do you? And do you find hope there? Do you find strength there? Do you find something of a reality of the upsurge of the Spirit as he gets a grip of you and says, come on, son, come on, daughter, look and live. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, the glory of Jesus, are being transformed into the same image. Our being, present tense, being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. By degrees we are being changed. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And we read verse 1 of chapter 4. You know that the verse and chapter divisions weren't inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we read verse 1 of chapter 4 because it's all relevant and it all ties it in. And Paul goes on to say, therefore, the therefore is therefore a reason, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Hallelujah. Whew. We can breathe a sigh of relief. We're not in this on our own. We don't have to struggle on our own. We don't have to lose heart because we look into our own hearts and see ourselves as pathetic, hopeless people who just happen to believe in Jesus and we happen to just have to struggle on to glory. Well, once upon a time we had an experience with Jesus and it was real, but for now it's just like I'm limping to heaven and it's awful and I'm terrible and I'm hopeless. No, that's not it. Yes, there is a time for self-examination. Yes, there is a time for the reality of looking at ourselves in the mirror. But as someone once gave some great advice, you glimpse at your own sin and you gaze upon Jesus and you gaze upon him and you look upon him That's one way that we don't lose heart. The first phrase there, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom for what? Freedom to do what? Freedom from what? You know, as Pentecostals, we love to interpret this particular verse purely in the context of worship and praise. We think, oh, well, if there's more freedom around here, we'd be dancing or whatever. It's such a narrow, narrow, narrow view. Freedom. Freedom is not the ability to break free from the law of God. Freedom is the ability and the desire and the passion to obey God. Freedom is being empowered to overcome. And freedom that Paul speaks about here is the freedom from self. I know of no greater freedom than I need freedom from is freedom from myself. Do you find that? Or maybe he needs freedom from something else or someone else. Paul saw this. Paul saw this in Romans 7, 21 to 25. He says, I find there's a law at work. When I want to do good, evil is there right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. And he says this in Romans 7, verse 24, what a wretched man I am. Anybody honest enough? Anybody have a clear enough understanding of who you are to say that? Oh, you might say that about somebody else. You might say that about me. What a wretched man he is. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me, he goes on to say, from this body of death? Who's going to pick me up? Who's going to break down and smash the prison doors and let me out of this? This desire to do good and doing the bad and wanting to do good and evil's right there with me. And oh, Lord, help me. And he goes on to say, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the victory. That's the freedom that Paul is speaking about in 2 Corinthians. The freedom in Christ. My shackles are gone. My spirit is free. That's the spirit of holiness, the spirit of life, the spirit of truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And all of this, the Spirit is working in us to bring us to a place of freedom. And we all with unveiled face. Verse 18. What does that mean, unveiled face? To me, it means open heart. With an open heart, open eyes, with an exposed, uncovered soul in the presence of God and beholding him. How do we behold? How do we see Jesus? Well, yes, by the eye of faith, and the Holy Spirit will show us, but he will show us in the Word. He will show us the glory of Jesus in the Bible. Not only in the Gospels, but throughout the whole Bible. The glory, the majesty, the splendor, the beauty of Jesus. Unveiled, open-hearted, uncovered, exposed soul in the presence of God under the unction and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Looking away from ourselves and looking to Him and finding an acceptance and a welcome and forgiveness and strength. You know, cameras are everywhere today, aren't they? Everybody's got cameras. If you have a phone, you have a camera. We take snapshots all around us simply because we can. That's what we do. In the pioneering days of photography, the process was a bit more time-consuming and it required absolute stillness of the subject. And in the very, very early days, it took days for an exposure to be captured, for an image to be captured in the camera. The exposure times were reduced then from days to hours and then to minutes. And now we can take a picture in a fraction of a second. The principles of photography may have changed over the centuries, but the principles, the spiritual principles of growth and change haven't. To be changed, to be transformed, to mature, to grow, to become just like Jesus requires the exposure of our hearts to Jesus in the Word of God under the direction of the Holy Spirit, beholding, seeing, savoring the beauty of our Savior. I wonder if that's what we do these days. I wonder if we've got time for that. I wonder if we just take a snapshot here and there. We'll take a snapshot. That'll do us because I haven't got time today, you see. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me beside the quiet waters. And what does He do there? He restores my soul. He restores, He replenishes my soul in the quiet place, in that still place when my heart is exposed before Him. Being transfixed by the beauty and majesty and glory of Jesus. You know, a quick snapshot's not going to do that. How long do we linger in the presence of God? How long do we expose our hearts to Him? And as it were, the plate of our heart, how long does it take for the image to be imprinted? His image imprinted and embossed upon our hearts so that we may be changed to be like Him. How long do we give to have His image impressed upon our open and receptive hearts? Seeing Jesus and becoming like Him are so clearly connected. It says, as we behold Him, we are transformed. We're changed as we see Him. If we're not seeing Him, does that mean we're not being changed? I think there might be a strong connection there. As we with unveiled open hearts, looking, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. We're not looking to Him, we're looking to something else, someone else. And wherever our gaze is, that's what we will be transformed into. Look at young people today. Remember, you were young once. And who did you used to follow? Bay City Rollers or whoever it was. And so you wanted to be like them and you got the tartan on and you sewed tartan to your jeans and you became like the Bay City Rollers or the whoever. because you were so caught up with them. Your gaze was upon them. You wanted to be like them. You wanted to let everybody know that you were into the Bay City Rollers or whoever. Folks, how much more should we be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus through the presence of the Holy Spirit as we look to Him? And as we are changed, and as we let the world know, and as we tell the world, this is who we are. We're followers of Jesus. And they see something in us, and they recognize something in us, in our attitudes, in our responses, in our graciousness, in our conversations. Do they see Jesus in us? They recognize, are we making them thirsty for Jesus? Hebrews says this, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 11, of course, is the faith chapter, and you read it through, and you know, wonderful things that they did. Some did conquered kingdoms, shut the mouths of lions. Others were sawn in two. Others were martyred. But they're all witnesses. They're all champions. They all made it to glory. And since we're surrounded by these people, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. As we lay aside, throw off everything that hinders, looking to Christ, persevering in the race, being transformed, being changed. Paul says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. He's saying that to Christians. Don't be molded. Don't be shaped by the world. So evidently it is possible for Christians, followers of Jesus, to be shaped by the world. Because Paul wouldn't say, don't be conformed, don't be shaped by the pattern of the world if it weren't possible. So who are we looking to? What are we looking to? For wherever our gaze is, whatever we are consumed with, that is what is shaping us. Don't look there. But be transformed, be changed radically by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of my mind with the truth of the Word of God, with who Jesus is, and I see Him with the eye of faith, and I see myself before Him, just as Isaiah did in the year that King Uzziah died, and Isaiah was broken and in bits, and oh, I'm unclean, and my lips are unclean, and everybody else's as well, when he saw the holiness of God. But God didn't leave him there, and he's not going to leave you there, and he's not going to leave us there in that place of despondency. But we need to get there, and we need to understand that we are hopelessly lost unless he steps in. And he has stepped in, and he has promised, and he has given us salvation in Christ, and he has given us his word, and he has given us his Holy Spirit. And he continues to fill us with his Spirit for the greatest thing of all, to make us like Jesus. Romans 8:29, for those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Oh, we think, ah, well, that'll be when I get to heaven. When I see him, I shall be like him. The process has to. And has started now. We're in that. How much are we engaged with it? How much are we on to that? Lord, change me. Change me. I don't want to be like that anymore. I don't want my reaction to be like that anymore.
I don't want to be saying this. I don't want to be not doing this. Lord, I want to be like Christ. Lastly, let me close. Therefore, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we don't lose heart. What ministry? This ministry of the Spirit in our lives. We don't lose heart. You see, you only lose heart if you've decided you're going somewhere. If you decided you're going to run the race, if you've decided that you're going to cross that finishing line, you only lose heart when you've really decided that that's what you're going to do. And the going gets tough. And it gets hard. It gets difficult. And you feel so burdened by your own failure and sin. And you think, I'm not more like Jesus. Really, come on, am I? No. That's venom. Venom that gets into the blood, into the brain. The antidote to that, look away. Look to Christ, because the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to see the beauty, the glory, the majesty, the mercy of your Savior, who is not against you, who is for you. And there will be a day, there will be a day. Frail saint, faltering saint, there will be a day, if you are His, that you will have a triumphant entry into the presence of God. And He will say to you, well done! Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And it won't be because you are some super saint. It will be because you recognize that you had a super Savior who overcame even the most deep-rooted character flaws and sin in your life to make you like Christ. Not only in the sweet by and by, and the unsavory now and now. Why does He want to make us like Christ? Why doesn't He just take us to heaven and be done with it? This is terrible. This is purgatory, kind of. Because you're saved. Why? Because you saw something in somebody else. What did you see? You didn't see something. Let's be more accurate. You saw someone. You saw Jesus in somebody else. They weren't perfect. They're far from it. Maybe even did things and said things that you thought, well, that's a bit much, but there was something enough to get your attention and to bring you to Jesus. That's why He leaves us here, in process, becoming more like Jesus, so that others too may come to know Him. Folks, let our lights so shine. Let our lights so shine that others will see Jesus in us and will want to come to Him. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we want to thank you for the work of grace that you've started in our lives. You're going to carry that on to completion until the day of Jesus. You started that good work, Lord. Lord, you are working in us. Help us to work out what you are working in us. And Lord, this morning I want to thank you for amazing grace. I want to thank you for the life of Timmy Gage. I want to thank you that you spoke to him. You powerfully touched his life. You're a gracious God. You reached down. Yes, you reached down into the depths of his heart. He cried out to you. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I thank you for your amazing grace that goes beyond what we think about somebody else and what they did or what they didn't do. Your grace stands, and this stands firm. The Lord knows those who are his. So, Lord, we thank you for his life. Thank you for touching him, for saving him, for bringing him to yourself. And, Lord, we ask you that truly you would help us all to be more like Jesus. Work in us. Even if it's painful, God, work in us. It will be painful. Show us those things, God, that need to be challenged and changed in us. And enable us and empower us by your Spirit to be Jesus to a lost and dying world. This is what you've committed to do in us. God, we surrender and say, do your work for the glory of your great name. Amen. And your
love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.